This is Radio Boston. I'm Anthony Brooks. It's been said that the only thing certain in life are death and taxes. In other words, we all have to pay the man, and perhaps more fundamentally, none of us gets out of here alive. Sorry for the doom and gloom, but it actually raises a pretty interesting issue in this digital age of ours. After we die, parts of us will continue to live online. Photos, tweets, blog postings, not to mention all kinds of financial information that we've supposedly hidden behind usernames and passwords. So what happens to all that digital stuff that we leave behind? Who gets access to it? And what can we do now? What should we do now to prepare our digital estates? It's a question a bunch of folks have been thinking about a lot recently, including Hiawatha Bray. He's a technology reporter for the Boston Globe who wrote this week about all of this, wrote very interestingly about it, and he joins us now. And Hiawatha, good to have you.
Good to be here.
Yeah, thanks for joining us. So what got you thinking about this subject?
Oh, I don't know, mortality. And the fact that I'd been reading other stuff about it and thinking about it a lot. Actually, I'm not by any means the first person to attack this issue. More, as I mentioned in the piece, there are already at least seven states that have passed legislation about it because more and more people are starting to realize how incredibly valuable the stuff is that we have online, our passwords, the fact that they tie to our, well, for example, our banking, but also the fact that people store nowadays a huge amount of their memories, their most cherished thoughts and ideas and experiences are stored online. What happens to all that stuff? And when you die, it's too late to think about it.
Yeah, and we're talking about, I mean, there's a lot of ways to attack this conversation. You go very interestingly into, all of this information stored on sites like Facebook, Twitter, Google, Yahoo, iCloud, Instagram, to name just a few.
Yeah.
And we haven't even gotten to online bank accounts. I'm going to talk about that in a bit. But tell us how some of the policies of some of these companies. For example, a billion people on Facebook. What happens to their accounts after they die?
Well, Facebook has no way of knowing you're dead. I happen to know anybody on Facebook who's died, but somebody I know showed me a Facebook account that's just sitting there. It's just chugging along. And the person who posted that account, who created that account, has been dead for a couple of years now. There are very possibly millions of dead people still on Facebook. But Facebook does have a procedure. If you approach them and you can show evidence, such as an obituary or a death certificate, that somebody has died, they can do one of two things. Either they'll just take everything down and that person will cease to exist on Facebook, or they'll create what they call a memorial page, where you leave up all the stuff that they posted for public viewing, and that will stay there. And their friends, only their friends, by the way, can go back and post additional stuff, basically saying, you know, we miss him, we can use this place to get together and reminisce about the guy who's gone, and it will stay there indefinitely on Facebook. So it's sort of a place to meet and greet people who knew the deceased.
Interesting. But what about access to this stuff after someone dies? And now, you know, let's move into the issue, for example, of bank accounts, passwords, usernames. You offer some advice, beginning with taking stock of your entire online inventory. So say more about that. What do we need to do?
That's the first thing you should do. And frankly, people should be doing that anyway, because it's just, aside from this question of dying, there are dozens, hundreds of cloud-based services, and I'm guilty of this. We just go around signing up for all of them, and then we stick a little stuff here, and a little stuff there, and a little stuff there. I've got stuff on iCloud, that's Apple. I've got stuff on SkyDrive, which is Microsoft. I've got stuff on Picasa, which is Google. And it gets crazy. And what you need to do is make an inventory. Keep track of all the places online where you have important stuff. Write down the usernames, write down the passwords, and figure out if there is somebody you can share that information with whom you can trust. I mean, if it's valuable enough and it's sensitive enough, maybe you should give it to your attorney. I don't know. But a spouse or some other family member has to be able to get at this stuff when you're gone.
Yeah, and you have a good solution, too, if you're not sure who should get it. You pointed your readers to an interesting website, actually, that will sort of store all of your passwords and usernames, right?
Well, that's not new. Actually, there are a bunch of companies that do that, and you should do that as well. I happen to like this a lot. I use a company called LastPass. And the great thing about these services, aside again from death, is that The problem with most passwords is that they're too easy to guess because we have to remember them all. If you use one of these services, you can come up with the most incredibly difficult password you can imagine. In fact, they always have a little feature where you push a button and it will create a password for you, and it's just total gibberish. But you don't have to remember it, because all you have to do is go to this site and it will guide you to the website and enter the password for you whenever you use it. And that way, you never have to remember your passwords. They're all stored in one place, in the cloud, encrypted, safe, easy to lock down. But one company that offers this service called Password Box, passwordbox.com, came up with something extra. They call it Legacy Locker. That is a service where you can go find somebody and designate that person as, in effect, your digital trustee. And you tell Password Box, if anything happens to me, this person is authorized to get access to my password box. And now you can put all your passwords in here. And then you can go, and if something happens to you, this person, a friend, a spouse or something, contacts Password Box, they identify him as the person, they provide proof that you're dead, and you're in. Somebody now has access to all your stuff, and you can get things, they can put your affairs in order.
Interesting. Listeners, are you preparing your digital estate after you're gone? What concerns do you have? What questions do you have? Give us a call, 800-423-8255. That's 800-423-TALK. We're talking to Hiawatha Bray. He's the technology reporter for the Boston Globe. And joining us as well is Naomi Kahn. She's a law professor at George Washington University, member of a special commission working to craft a recommended law for digital assets. And Naomi Kahn, welcome to Radio Boston. Good to have you.
Thanks. Great to be here.
I'd love to ask you what the issues are here legally. What does the law currently say about how people can bequeath their digital assets?
Well, that's a good question, because most states, including Massachusetts, don't have laws that specifically address this issue. Hmm. Nationwide, there are only about 7 states that have laws. Massachusetts has, there's been legislation introduced in Massachusetts, but it hasn't been enacted, and even that legislation would only deal directly with email accounts. So we're all entering this brave new world of just how do you bequeath your digital assets to the people you want them to go to. It then becomes important to separate out what do we mean by digital assets? Well, in all of those different accounts that Hiawatha was talking about, in order to set them up, you click through some kind of an agreement, the Terms of Service Agreement. Well, that Terms of Service Agreement might say, well, gee, this particular asset, like your iTunes, expires upon your death. So you can't bequeath it anyway. It may also say, as did a British company called GameStation, by signing this Terms of Service, you agree that we own your soul upon your death. So the Terms of Service Agreements are going to set up precisely what type of ownership you, the account holder, actually have. So that's the first issue. What precisely do you have in the digital cloud? What precisely do you have on your computer?
You're making a really good point there. This is something I didn't get a chance to get into in the article. I don't know how much life or death this is for people, but think about how many of us buy e-books, like Amazon Kindle books.
Mm-hmm.
When you buy a Kindle book, that book is tied to the Amazon account. You can't turn around and leave it to somebody when you die. So that's just one example of the situations that arise because of digital goods. A traditional book, you just hand them out to people. You can't do that with electronic books, and that has to be sorted out, too.
And Naomi Kahn, I'm curious, from where you sit, as someone who looks at this from a legal perspective, where are the best laws, or what do the best laws look like around this stuff?
Well, I'm involved in helping to write what we hope will be the best law, and that will be available in July. I'm working with a group that has representatives from all 50 states appointed by the governor, and what we do is we try to come up with laws that will be enacted in all of the states. So the best law, what we're hoping that the best law will do is, first of all, make sure that if you die in Massachusetts, but you have an account that's owned by a company, say, in Washington State, that there's going to be uniformity. So whatever Massachusetts law says is going to be respected by all other states. We also want to come up with an act that deals not just with what happens when you die, but what happens if you're hospitalized? What happens if suddenly you have a stroke and all of your bills are, you pay all of your bills online, you get all of your credit card statements online, and suddenly for a period of time you can't access any of that and you haven't told anybody your passwords? What happens in that situation? So we're trying to deal not just with what happens at death, but what happens if you're incapacitated. And along those lines, we want to make sure that if a terms of service agreement says, and Hiawatha mentioned this, in his article, terms of service agreement might say you cannot, and this is in fact what Facebook says, you cannot share your password with anybody. Well, gee, most of us do, in fact, think we need to share.
Now, just let me stop you there. Does that mean that if you do share your password with someone and someone else goes into your account with your password and username that you gave them, that that person essentially is liable for hacking? I mean, is that how that works?
Well, actually, the person probably isn't liable for hacking as a criminal matter because you have legally authorized that person to access your account. On the other hand, I don't think any internet service companies are going to come after people for doing this, but you're technically in violation of the agreement that you entered into when you click through to open that account. And so if the internet company wanted to end the agreement then and there, saying you violated it, that would then be what the terms of service allow them to do. So
they could what? Wipe out all your data and stuff?
I'm sorry?
They would wipe out all your data and stuff then.
Well, I think as a practical matter, that's certainly not something they want to do or something they would do, particularly when you have given somebody, when someone is accessing your account and you have given them the password. But technically, you are, by giving somebody else your password, if you have signed up with a company that says you shall not give your password,
you're
to
in violation
else.
Of the policy, right?
Yeah.
Let's get a couple of listeners in who have called 1-800-423-8255, 1-800-423-TALK, about the digital afterlife. Let's go to Jeff, who's calling from the South End. Hi, Jeff. You're on the air.
Hi. How are you doing, Anthony?
Very well. What's on your mind?
Well, you were speaking earlier about Facebook, and I just wanted to share something that I saw that was kind of surprising recently. I had a friend who died almost a year ago, but occasionally me and my other friends that knew him noticed that on Facebook he was liking things. And so even though he was dead, he was liking McDonald's or he was liking something. And I understood that from someone I know in the industry that that's probably because he had liked it in the past and they kept using his like.
How strange.
Now, that's strange. I would have thought that they shut down things like suggestions and other such things that are supposed to go on from somebody's account. You're not supposed to see that anymore. Did anybody memorialize his page?
Not that I know of, no.
That's probably why, because if you have it officially memorialized, all that stuff is supposed to stop. So I'm guessing nobody actually did that.
What they often do is after a few months of where there's been nobody using it, then they'll shut down the account. But accounts could go on forever unless someone actually lets Facebook know that someone has died, or unless they decide after a certain period of time there's been no activity on the account. 2 years after he died, my uncle kept on asking me to friend him on Facebook.
Oh, that's terrible. Wait a minute. I've got to mention what Google does, because that's really very important.
Yeah, please tell us.
Google does a really smart thing here. They just started this last spring. You can go and sign up on Google. If you have a Google account, you can tell them, if you do not hear from me, if I do not sign into this account in, say, 6 months, contact a certain person and give them access to my accounts. And you could also tell it, if I don't sign in after 6 months, wipe everything, just to delete it completely. And you can set it up very precisely. It's a very good plan.
It's really
called the Google Inactive Account Manager, and it can be difficult to find, but it is there. And you are absolutely right. It's incredibly important. It's not just Google Mail. It's anything that Google has.
Yeah, and one of the best things about it, you can pick and choose. You can let, say, a relative of yours have access to your photos, but not let them have access to your old emails.
That's really
well done.
But, you know, listening to Jeff's phone call about his late friend who continues to like McDonald's and other things, it is sort of a reminder of how permanent this stuff is. And it sort of makes me think even harder about what we're all putting out there, what we want to put out there, because it's going to go on defining us long after today or tomorrow or next month.
Even if you put out a tweet that you didn't mean to put out, that thing is going to be saved somewhere forever. Mm. You always remember that. Anything you put out, the minute you hit that send key, it's there.
Well, speaking of this theme, Hiawatha, you also write, you wrote about a British service pretty much allows you to go on existing online long after you're dead. Tell us about
that. Oh, that's insane. I don't know how long these guys are going to be around. It's a little British startup called Die Social. Or Death Social. I'm sorry. Which one is it? I don't have it in front of me. It's Die Social, isn't it?
I should be able to find it. But go ahead. Tell us about it. I'll come up with a
name. Well, the point is that what they basically let you do is you sign up for the service, and then you designate a friend, again, to be your sort of digital executor. Now, once you've signed up for the service, which is free, you put in a message. It's like your first message from beyond the grave. And in addition, you can post messages on a calendar basis. So that, and not just word messages. You can post videos and audio recordings that will play on certain days. And this connects to your Facebook account and your Twitter account. If you set this up and you die, then your friend contacts Die Social and tells them you're gone.
Let me just correct you. I learned this from you, Hiawatha, but I'm just going to correct you. It's Dead Social.
Dead Social. Thank you.
Yeah.
And
Dead
Social. There are other companies that will also do the same thing and that will send out. You can compose a letter. I mean, Hiawatha makes a good point that what you need to do is to inventory your digital assets, and you need to make sure you know all of your passwords. The average person has 25 passwords. The next step, though, is after you know what you have, is figuring out what to do with it. You should, for example, never put your passwords in a will, because a will becomes a public document.
Mm, good point.
You should figure out, you should take the steps of going on to the Google Inactive Account Manager, taking other steps, if necessary, drafting legal documents, including a power of attorney. Some people even are now holding their digital assets in a trust. But you need to take the next steps after you figured out what you have, figuring out what you want to have happen to that once you are no longer able to control things yourself.
Naomi, we literally have 10 seconds left, but I just want to ask you this. Hiawatha recommended in his piece that people appoint an electronic executor. In addition to, the executive of their terrestrial
estate. Right. Yeah, that's an interesting idea. So does the federal government as well. And I think it's a great idea as well. Someone who can take over all of these assets and administer them. The problem is the laws aren't there to support that person. And that's the next step.
Oh, boy. Brave new world. Really interesting subjects. Thank you both for bringing them up and talking about them so intelligently with us. Hiawatha Bray, technology reporter for the Boston Globe. And Naomi Kahn, law professor at George Washington University. Thank you both. And I wish you both a great weekends.
Thank you.
You're very welcome. Thanks, fans.
And listeners, stay with us. There's more to come. Stay with us. This is Radio Boston. I'm Anthony Brooks.